chromosomes. Little strands of nucleic acids and proteins are the fundamental genetic instructions that tell us who we are at birth. Most people are born with 46 chromosomes, but each year in the United States, about 6,000 people are born with an extra chromosome, making them a person with Down syndrome. If you've ever encountered someone with Down syndrome, you know that they are some of the kindest, most joyful people you will ever meet. They truly have something extra. My name is Lisa Nichols, and I have spent the last 24 years as both the CEO of Technology Partners and as the mother to Allie. Allie has something extra in every sense of the word. I have been blessed to be by her side as she impacts everyone she meets. Through these two important roles as CEO and mother to Allie, I have witnessed countless life lessons that have fundamentally changed the way I look at the world. While you may not have an extra chromosome, every leader has something extra that defines who you are. Join me as I explore the something extra in leaders from all walks of life and discover how that difference in each of them has made a difference in their companies, their families, their communities, and in themselves. If you like this episode today, please go to Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen and leave us a 5-star rating. I'm delighted to have Catherine Gates on the show today. Catherine is Executive Director of the Polish Network, author of The Confidence Cornerstone, and a guest speaker. Well, welcome to the Something Extra Podcast, Catherine Gates. I'm so excited that we were able to make this happen. Thank you for making the time today, girl.
Oh my gosh, Lisa, thank you. I've been looking forward to this.
I have been too. Yeah, we're going to have fun. So you and I were first introduced, I don't know if you remember this or not, but we were first introduced several years ago because we both know the good folks at DaySpring. And I was talking to Kim Marquette in particular at DaySpring, and she asked me, she said, Lisa, do you know women in the marketplace? Do you know the group? And I'm like, no, I don't. And then the rest is history.
Yeah.
She connected us all. And, you know, it's been so fun, Catherine, because I think you've been to several of our Christian Businesswomen breakfast here in St. Louis. You've even, like, I remember a few years ago, you were doing a road trip across country and you made St. Louis one of your stops and a bunch of us got together and had dinner with you. And so I'm just so grateful how these connections happen. And, you know, it's not, I don't believe it's a coincidence when they do.
No, I like to call it a God incidence.
I like that. And I believe that as well. And then you invited me, and we'll talk about this. You invited me, which I was so grateful for. You graciously invited me to speak at the Boldly Conference in DFW this year.
Yes.
And so I'm really excited and looking forward to that. But we've got so much to dig into today. But before we do, I'd love for you to take me back to growing up. Now, you live in Fayetteville, Arkansas now, girl.
But I do.
But when you talked to Catherine, Jenny nailed it. My assistant Jenny said, I think Catherine's from Long Island.
That's really good because people will say East Coast. They might say New York. Sometimes I get New Jersey. Not New Jersey. Yes, I am from Long Island. That's where I grew up. Spent most of my life there. I'm the oldest of five. And Lisa, you know, we were raised in a Catholic home. We were raised going to church every Sunday. We were raised to believe in God. And I'll tell you, I always did. I always believed. But I also thought that he was watching over us. But then when things, bad things started to happen, I thought, all right, maybe my life is too small to be on his radar. Maybe I'm going to have to look after myself. My parents got divorced when I was 11. And as the oldest of five, I took on, you know, responsibility that an 11-year-old could not take on, obviously, you know. And I've been working since I was 11 years old.
Wow. Well,
yeah. So, you know, left the family in a little bit of a financial hardship, you know, and so we really struggled for a while.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Cause I think you had, what do you have? Like a sister and three brothers or two sister? What's the mix?
Just the opposite. One brother and three sisters.
One brother and three sisters. Wow. So you started working at 11 to help
with the family once her mom and dad got divorced. My goodness. Well, it explains a lot because I know your work ethic is impeccable and, you know, but I love what you just said because I think a lot of people think that, Catherine, is, oh, I'm a speck. You know, what does God really care about me? But, you know, we'll talk about that. But our identity, God says we're his masterpiece. God grafts our name in the palm of his hand. He loves us so much, right? And I hope we get a chance to talk about that a little bit more. But thank you for sharing a little bit about your background there. And Jenny nailed it. She's like, I think she's from Long Island. Even though you live in Arkansas now. But something that you and I don't think we've talked about this, or maybe we touched on it and I had totally forgotten. But as I was preparing for our episode today, I did not realize that you had a degree in computer information systems. So you
actually, I never did get a degree. I had a certification. So along those lines, as I was saying, you know, I felt like actually I would have had a full scholarship to Stony Brook University, but I felt like I needed to get a real job as soon as possible, you know, and become more financially independent. And so I took a 1-year certification program to become a COBOL programmer. Yeah.
It's still used today, by the way. COBOL.
I know people say, hey, you could make a lot of money doing that right now. I'm like, yeah, I don't remember anything. I don't remember anything, but it did get me, you know, started working full time at 19 and actually moved up very quickly. And so I always said I would go back to school, and I did for a little bit, but you know, life happens and there were so many interruptions, but I'm happy to say, Lisa, one, not having the degree really didn't stop me. I mean, I was able to do a lot of things in my career that I'm grateful for. And in May of this year, 2024, I graduated with a bachelor's degree in Christian leadership.
Awesome. So you did go back to get the degree.
I finally did it.
But it's a different kind of degree because God's done a different work in your life. That is amazing. Well, let me ask you this. So you did work for Grumman Data Systems, as you said, informatics, Aero Electronics, and many others. But when you were 19 years old, who inspired you or what inspired you, Catherine, to do something in computers? Because that was truly at a time where, and it's still that way, that not as many women are in that field. But back then, certainly they were not. You know, I'm not dating you or anything like that, you know, saying that you're old. But it's true, though. I mean, just it was an emerging. It'd been around. Ava Lovelace was the woman that actually invented coding. You know, it was a woman, but there just weren't that many women. So what was it that kind of inspired you?
My dad. It was my dad. I mean, I wanted to please him. He was in that field. He worked for Grumman. And it was I tried out basic programming in high school and I did well. And so I just decided that would be a good avenue for me, a good path. The funny thing is, Lisa, a couple years ago, a friend did the Berkman assessment on me. And, you know, it lists your interests in order of what really lights you up and gives you energy and what drains you. And technology is dead last.
Really? Oh, yeah. My goodness.
Yeah. But it's what sustained me financially for 18 years. So,
And it doesn't hurt to have that background, right? Because everything is technology these days. So
it actually helps a lot.
Mm-hmm. Well, today, and you've done a lot of things since that time, but, you know, what was the precipice today? And we're going to really dig in further on this, Catherine, but today you're the executive director for the Polish Network. But tell me about that journey going from, you know, computers. What was that journey like? What was the pivotal point for you to say, hey, I'm going to do this work instead?
It was quite a journey and very circuitous, Lisa. I mean, I was had a consulting company with my son's father. We were married at the time. And I took 3 years to raise my son. And then when my when his father said he was leaving, I was at a point where I was also reevaluating what I wanted to do as far as a career was concerned. So I let him take the business and I started kind of just exploring what else could I be doing. I did project management for a while. I worked for a company that produced infomercials as their director of operations for a short time. There came a point where I could not find a job. It was in 2001. The economy tanked and I was living in Iowa at the time in a small town and just could not find anything. And so as I was turning 40, I went back to Long Island and moved in with my mother while I got back on my feet. And that really was a turning point for me right there because I realized, oh, this is not, I can't do this without God.
Mm.
And he'd been pursuing me. He'd been putting people in my life, pointing me to him, to inviting me to Bible studies, pointing me to Bible-based churches. And so I finally started taking my faith more seriously. I got into sales training for a while, you know, just such a variety of things, but had so much fun doing that. And a woman there introduced me to Joyce Meyer. And so I really started I started at 5:30 every morning. I would watch Joyce Meyer and get into the word and start praying the word over myself. And that really helped me to develop a deeper walk with the Lord. It was when I was working for a company as their sales coach and marketing director. This one woman in the sales meetings, Joy, she was a salesperson and she would often be recognized as the top salesperson. And she would give glory to God. Mm. Now, this was Long Island. We didn't talk about our faith in social circles, right. Let alone at work. Right. I'd never seen anything like this. She would give glory to God for every sale. She would pray with her customers over the phone. And it made me take a step back and think, I wonder if I should include God in my work. You know, now it's like, what a question, you know?
Right.
And I'm a big networker, Lisa, you know that about me. I always have been that way. And so I started talking to some other women business leaders and we actually would meet every couple of months to just talk about the integration of our spiritual lives and our work lives. Fast forward, my son ends up moving to Arkansas to live with his dad. And I prayed for 3 years that they would have to come back. And finally, I asked God what he wanted it to look like. And, you know, I can just imagine God sitting there saying, gee, thanks for asking me. Yes. But that's when I realized just things coming together, conversations I had with my son. He was 14 at the time. I realized, you want me to move to Arkansas? And I didn't know anybody. I didn't know what the job market looked like here. I didn't know anything about it, but I decided to take a step of obedience. And that was 2008. I finally decided I need to get baptized. I am surrendering my life to the Lord. And that was the beginning of a beautiful relationship that I now have with Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
I moved to Arkansas and I discovered that there was an organization called Work Matters.
Yes.
That there were actually resources to help people live out their faith at work, that this is actually a thing. and I got involved with Work Matters very quickly and eventually went to work for them.
I love that story. So I love, Catherine, that you were saying to God, hey, help them, you know, put it in their heart to move back here.
Yes.
And he's saying, you know, I've got a different plan, Catherine. I want you to move there. But oh my goodness, if you Lisa, had not, you yeah. know, you would not have been connected to Work Matters and it would not be the same journey.
Yeah, I have a life that I could not have even imagined. In 2009, when I moved to Arkansas, I was still struggling to read the whole Bible. You know, and now I'm writing workplace Bible studies and devotionals and a book based on biblical principles. I teach people how to integrate their faith at work. If you told me that 15 years ago, I would have said, you're out of your mind.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, but God has been so faithful, but it just helps me. Like I love to tell people, Lisa, you know, it's okay. Of course, we want to ask God. God says, you have not because you ask not. He wants us to pray to him. He wants us to ask him for good things. And we need to hold them loosely because so often he's sitting there saying, child, I have something so much better for you. Mm-hmm. So please don't lock me into your little box, because what you see may look a little uncomfortable at first, but you believe me, I'm going to blow your mind.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm going to try to remember this. But as you know, I love Dr. Richard Blackaby.
Yes.
And his dad, Henry, said one time, God, if I pray for something and you have something better, cancel my request.
Absolutely.
Isn't
Absolutely.
That good? You yes. know, but I mean, seriously, and God can do more than we can ask or imagine, but we do have to surrender. And that's where you came to a place, Catherine, where you're like, I'm going to do it your way, God. I'm going to be all in, right? I just love that. Well, tell me more about the Polished Network. Tell me about the mission, the vision. Why do you guys exist? And I got a lot more questions.
Yeah. So the Polished Network, our mission is to embolden women in their faith and work. And Lisa, I was on a call recently with the founder, Kat Armstrong. So Kat Armstrong and Stephanie Giddens were the founders. And I just learned that it started because the two of them decided, you know, we are young Christian working women with ambitions in our work, and we're struggling to find that community. Let's pray together. It started with them praying together and eventually inviting others in. And it just grew because, Lisa, as you know, through the Rooted Sisters, women are hungry to find community with other Christian working women. Mm-hmm. And so some of the ways that we help women is to provide that community that they crave through the Polished Chapters. We provide the leadership development that they need through things like collaboratories and Polished collaboratories and resources. And then the gospel that they also need, right? Mm-hmm. So every Polished Chapter meeting, we share the gospel very briefly, but we really invite women who may be on the fence about their faith or looking for a deeper walk. We invite them to connect with us so that we can connect them with a church if they're not already connected and have those conversations.
Yeah, that's so awesome. So awesome. And you're right. I found the same thing. You know, we found the same thing with the Rooted Sisters. It'll be women will say, wow, I didn't know this existed. Why didn't I know about this? I've been praying for something like this, right? So yes. It's just such a blessing, you know, to be a part of that and what God's doing there. So let me ask you, so you've contributed, you've already said that you've written so many resources and you've contributed to a lot of these studies and resources about integrating your faith. Tell me, Catherine, for you, how have you personally integrated your faith into your work? I mean, how does that play out for you now?
It plays out, Lisa, by remembering, and I always repeat what my friend Dara Young said one time. She said, after your quiet time, don't hang up on God.
Oh,
right?
Good.
So, you know, we have that quiet time first thing in the morning. So many of us do, and that's certainly part of my routine. But then the idea is that we're praying over our day. We're releasing our day to the Lord. We're inviting him to bring interruptions. We're asking him to give us a fresh filling of the Holy Spirit to lead us. But it doesn't stop there. I stop before every meeting, every decision that I have to make as I start a new project. I am asking the Lord to lead me and guide me. I'm leaning on his word to help me make decisions. Right? I'm seeking mm-hmm. his peace in the direction that I need to go in. And certainly, it's also acting on his commands, right? So extending grace, extending forgiveness, putting others before myself, looking for opportunities to serve. You know, as executive director, I see myself as a servant to my team and the people that we serve.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that is so good. I love, and I want to dig into this a little bit, but I'm going to wait on this. But I do want to talk about God's word, because so many people now think, Catherine, and I know you love God's word just as I do. It is truly like nutrition to our physical body, God's word is to our spirit, right? And our soul. And, you know, but so many people think, oh, it's just not relevant for today. But they're just, have you just talked about forgiving? How many times has someone offended us at work? Well, what does the Bible say about that? You know, well, how are you to handle that? It's got answers. It's got answers for all of those things, but we've got to study it and we've got to read it, right? To know what God says about it. Well, let me, let's talk about this a little bit. Let's pivot and talk about your book, The Confidence Cornerstone. You published this in 2020. I love this, that you dedicated this to your mom and your siblings. Here's what you said. I dedicate this book first to my mother, who raised me to believe in God and demonstrated her strong faith and perseverance in the face of very difficult challenges. I'm also absolutely certain her prayers are the reason that I'm still alive and finally gave my life to the Lord. And then you also dedicated it to your sisters and your brother, who walked through some difficult times with you. But I love that you said it's her prayers. And so, you know what? We should never discount that, really, for our children, right? And Catherine, I cannot tell you how many people I've had on the show, even, or people that in my life, and they're like, it's a praying grandma. You know, it's not even a praying mom. It's a praying grandmother that had prayed over them. So I love that you dedicated it to them. But, you know, you definitely have had to navigate a lot of difficult things in your own life, as you've kind of just briefly touched on. But I want to understand this confidence cornerstone. Expound on that. And I know you talked about it a little bit, but expound on that. What does that mean to you? And, you know, if you could tell us a little bit more.
Yeah. When I first got sort of the assignment, if you will, to write that book, I had just read the book called The Confidence Code by Katie Kay and Claire Shipman. Excellent book. I highly recommend it. A lot of people have picked it up as based on my recommendation. I was working on my own confidence, Lisa. So I do not hold the corner on confidence. I'm still working on mine, you know, but it's funny. I had signed up for a writer's retreat and I discovered that one of the requirements to attend this retreat was to have a solid book idea. And I was like, well, I've wanted to write a book, but I have no idea what I would write it about. But after reading The Confidence Code, which, it, like I said, it really sheds so much light on why women are struggling with confidence, even women who you would think are, I've got it down. No, they're dealing with imposter syndrome, right? And I love the recommendations that they give in terms of, like, you know, you've got, we need to take risks. We need to step out of our comfort zone. The thing is, how do you do that without faith? You know, because I can imagine a lot of women saying, ooh, that didn't go so well. Never mind. You know, but when you're taking it based on your faith, when you're walking with the Lord, you know, first of all, you're going to make those risks much more in line with what God is calling you to do versus what you think the world is calling you to do. And he's the one that's going to strengthen you and grow you through even the failures, right? So you can lean on him. But we've got to have our identity in Christ. And so I kept saying, this needs a faith element. And finally, the Holy Spirit got a hold of me and said, excuse me, that's your book. And I'm like, oh, okay, but you're going to have to give me the words. And so Jesus is our confidence cornerstone. It's a little play on confidence code, confidence cornerstone, you know, but Jesus is our confidence cornerstone. And it's when we recognize what has impacted our confidence, what has given us our identity up to this point, right? That maybe is of the world. And how do we shift to, wait a second, no, our identity comes from who we are in Christ. And God has blessed every single one of us with gifts and talents to use in this world, but not on our own. I was living, Lisa, like it all depended on me. And as long as I did, that's exhausting. And it can also be discouraging. But when I lean on the Lord, when I know he's always with me, it changes everything.
It does. It changes everything. And as you're talking, Kathy, I love everything that you just said. But as you were talking, I was just thinking about the verse that says, you know, in your weakness, I am strong. So even when we feel weak, even if we feel like, oh, we don't have what it takes to do that, that's honestly, when you have faith, that's precisely where God wants you.
That's right.
Because then we're most dependent on Him at that point.
I mean, even in this role of executive director that I'm only a few weeks in, and I knew taking this role, I'm going to need to be fully dependent on Him. And that's a good place to be.
It is. It is. Well, we've got so much more to talk about, Catherine, but we do need to take a quick break, and we'll be right back with Catherine Gates on the Something Extra podcast.
Hey there. In a challenging business climate like this, savvy leaders look to technology to find an edge. This can mean the difference between staying ahead of the curve or playing catch up. It's time to collaborate with the highly skilled experts at Technology Partners. Our team of technologists draws upon decades of experience for your project, with each bringing a passion for solving problems and a track record of success. How can we help you overcome your biggest technology challenges? Visit technologypartners.net to book a free consultation with one of our leaders.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Something Extra podcast with my dear friend and sister, Catherine Gates. So, Catherine, I love the subtitle of your book. The subtitle is A Woman's Guide to Fearless Leadership. How do you define fearless leadership?
It's having our complete confidence in what the Lord is doing in our lives. You know, it says in Scripture, there is no fear in love. When we're walking and truly abiding in Christ, even when we come up against hard times, and Lisa, I'll tell you, just a week ago, I was struggling. I was struggling. But then what I know is all I need to do is say, oh, okay, Lord, I need you in this. I need to lay this down at your feet. I need you to encourage me right now. And I'll tell you what, by the end of the week, he did. I mean, the whole week turned around in ways I was like, glory to God, you showed up in big ways, you know? And so it's not that we don't have those moments. You know, we all do. We're human, right? Until Jesus comes back, we're going to have those moments.
Yes.
You know, but it's in that moment. Oh, I need to get on my knees and pray.
Mm-hmm.
I need to give this to the Lord. I need to tune into the Holy Spirit. What do you, Lord, want me to do next?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm just lots of things going through my head, Catherine, but that old adage, if it's to be, it's up to me. In a faith, no, I mean, it is not up to you. You've got a, you know, Almighty God that is going to help you and guide you and lead you. There's just so many things going through my head on that, but I love everything you said. Well,
actually, Lisa, if I could say one more thing about that.
Yes.
Not God and he speaks through people. I had a woman on a meeting on Friday who I've met once. We've emailed. We get on this call and she wants to sponsor the Boldly Conference. We're chatting and she is just speaking words of encouragement over me. Like, I'm like, oh my goodness. I mean, you hardly know me and look at what you're saying about me. And I feel like that was the Holy Spirit's encouragement. So we need each other too. That's why the Rooted Sisters, Polish Network, that these different organizations that give women an opportunity to come together with other, we need each other to lift each other up and remind each other also, Jesus is with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. He will never leave you without support. You are his prized possession. You are his daughter.
Yeah. Oh, that's good. That is good. Well, the fearless leadership. I was going to ask you about a time that you just told me about like last week, you know, having a time where, you know, it was discouraging but God put people in your path, right? And he does, because that person is also walking in the Spirit and listening to the Holy Spirit, right? So that lady had not been doing that, then that encounter may not have happened, Catherine. So it's just so, so important. You know, how do you believe, so like overcoming this fear, and I think like, you know, we see the t-shirts, faith over fear, but I do think women with confidence, there is this fear of failure. There is a fear of failure. And I also say sometimes there's a fear of success.
Yes. It's
like they fear success, and that's what keeps people stuck, right? And with that, it's like, oh, if I am successful, what would that mean? How would that change my life? If, you know, and so it can be both ways. But like when you talk about fear of failure, that's probably the most common one. You know, how have you in your own life overcome that? Because, you know, there are times things don't work out. I mean, we say at Technology Partners, we experiment a lot. Yeah. Sometimes it works and sometimes it falls flat, right? Yeah. But, you know, it's not like, what's the adage? It's not when you fall down, it's getting up, right?
Yes.
And keep going. I mean, how have you in your own life when you've had failure, you know? And I don't like the word failure. I think it's opportunity for growth, really. It's kind of a mindset change. But for yourself, Catherine, how have you overcome that? And then how do you instruct other women, like that they've had something that didn't, oh, they applied for that job and, you know, it just didn't work out. How do you instruct them? How do you mentor them through that?
Yeah. No, that's good, Lisa. For the longest time, I was so terrified of failing. I mean, if I made a mistake, I would try to find ways to recover and cover it up so nobody, I mean, it would just be, and if I couldn't, I would be mortified. It was like my whole identity was in every failure and every success. And that's a problem. That's mm-hmm. a problem. Because when our identity is in our successes or our failures, it is shifting sand. It is not stable at all. We are like, you know, just really like waves being tossed about, right? Or a boat being tossed about on the waves. I had to learn that that is not where my identity is. And to your point, and you know, I want to be careful too, because sometimes we can water things down. Look, sometimes we fail and it hurts and we need to acknowledge that those feelings, I don't want to stuff them or push them away because they're going to come up some other way. So we've got to deal with the feelings, but we don't want to dwell there. We don't want to, you know, wallow in that. And so I do tell people, look, you know, hey, I've been turned down for jobs. You know, I went for a job when I moved back to Long Island. There were a few jobs I went for and I didn't get them. You know, I had to work hard at finding something. And the first job that I took was selling security systems for ADT. Like what? What? No, I don't even want to be a salesperson. What are you talking about? You know, but when I look back on that, Lisa, it gave me the experience of walking in the shoes of a salesperson so I could do the sales training that I actually did enjoy. I loved, mm-hmm. It was the Sandler sales system and I loved that system so much because I felt like it was a system of selling with integrity. And it has served me for all these years. I still apply the principles that I learned through Sandler. Mm-hmm. But what I do is I tell people, look, deal with your feelings, you know, definitely have people around you to support you. Turn to the Lord in prayer. And I'm able to share. Yeah, I didn't get that job. I ended up having to go through that. But the Lord used it and turned it around for good. And because I did that, I learned from it. I mean, we do want to emphasize the fact that, hey, we don't learn from our successes. We learn from our failures. We grow through our failures.
Yeah, that's good. You know?
So just again, being careful not to put our identity there, deal with our feelings and give it to the Lord and say, all right, Lord, if I didn't get that job, if that project didn't go the way you must have something better. What can I learn from this? Mm-hmm. So that what I do next is even better than what I could have done had I not experienced this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I really love that. And one thing I was thinking, Catherine, as you were talking, I think as leaders, it is really important because I remember when I was younger, you know, and some failures and I tried to cover up where nobody would know that I failed on that. And thank God, God's helped me grow through that. I'm like, I'm going to own it. Now.
Yes. Yes.
I'm going to own it. You know, I broke our garbage disposal 2 days ago in our house and our kitchen's a mess. And I'm like, you know, the kids are like, what happened, Mom? I'm like, I broke the garbage. I broke it. I put way too much stuff in there and had to have a plumber come out yesterday. But yeah, I mean, I think it's really important as a leader too, for us to go, you know what? I screwed up. I made a mistake. I made a decision here that has not gone well. And
there's so much freedom in that.
There's so much freedom in it. Yeah. Because to your point earlier, when you were saying about like the, I can't remember what you were saying, but you said it's exhausting.
Yes.
Covering up is exhausting, right? Just own it. But then I think it gives other people
permission,
the freedom, and the permission to own it, right? So,
yes.
Yeah. we've already talked about this just a little bit, but I want to do just a tiny little deeper dive on it. You know, I want to talk and chat with you a little bit about networking and community. And I know that the Polish Network, that's what the Polish Network's doing. It's creating this community. How has building a strong community for you been, you know, really helpful in your own journey, having that community?
Oh my gosh, Lisa. First of all, I'm a people person. And so, you know, and even like now, I work from home all day, you know, then at the end of the day, I'm here by myself. And so it's just so great, you know, to have people that I can turn to for prayer or to contribute to, you know. But I mean, it works both ways, right? Sometimes I need somebody to run something by or just to ask for prayer. But then if somebody comes to me and asks me for prayer or runs something by me, I feel like blessed because I got a chance to contribute to them. Mm-hmm. And it's just being able to process what's going on with other people. You know, we were designed for community. God is community inherently. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we're created in His image to be in community with others, with Christ at the center. And so I don't care if you're an introvert or an extrovert, we all need community. It just might look a little different, right? Mm-hmm. And so I see women realizing, you know, whether it's in the monthly lunches, which, you know, anybody can show up as they're able, or the collaboratories that we do that are a committed small group of 10 to 12 women, you know, they're building relationships and they're seeing, oh, I'm not the only one that experiences that. And there's power in that. Mm-hmm. When you see, I'm not the only one who is struggling to bring my faith into my work. I'm not the only one who has dealt with, I don't know, being overlooked for a promotion when I've got the skills and I've been here, whatever, you know. I'm not the only one who has dealt with some of these challenges. And then we can talk together about how do we handle this in a God-honoring way.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, that is not shying back. And it's not, you know, it's not being a bull in a china shop either. It's how do we do it well? How do we speak up about the injustices that we see? How do we speak up about the ideas that we have that we really see as opportunities to contribute to our organization or our team? How do we make sure we do that with confidence? And so when we have community, we can encourage each other in those things. We can hear how other people are doing it. We need role models. We need examples. And that's what the chapters do when we bring in speakers. That's what the collaboratories do when they get to feed one another and encourage one another, mm-hmm. you know? And so community is just so critical. If anybody's listening to this and you don't have community, I suggest you go out and find your people quickly. Even if it's just mm-hmm. a small group of two or three, we all need that.
Reach out to Catherine or myself.
Yes.
And we will get you connected. Yeah. I'm thinking several things. One is one of my favorite verses, Catherine. I know it probably is yours too, is iron sharpens iron.
Mm-hmm.
And we sharpen each other as we are in community. That's one thing I'm thinking. We are also part of a group called Inspire CIO, Chief Information Officer. It's a national consortium of CIOs. And I'm going to steal this from them, but I'm giving you credit, Inspire. They said the answer's in the room. So you get all these CIOs in the room, and this CIO has already done a cloud migration. Somebody's thinking about doing that. The answer's in the room. And that's the other thing that I would say is when you get these women together, and here's the advantage that we have the Holy Spirit. If we've accepted Jesus as our Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit's residing in us. And that's so, right. You know, that answer is in the room in even a greater way. But I could not agree more. And for women out there, I do know I'm very much of an extrovert. Catherine, networking has been a part of your life. It's been a part of my life since I was a little girl. You know, I was constantly trying to get people together for, you know, my first club was a bike club. That's a whole nother story, but I made people pay dues, and it's probably like there's a jar of money buried somewhere in my parents' yard at their old house. But constantly trying to get, you know, collaborate and get people together, it's just a natural part of my DNA. But some women struggle with that, right? And what yes. I always say, and this is a little tip, you know, if you have trouble in those networking situations, come up with some good questions. Yes. I always say try to be more interested than interesting.
Totally.
You know, don't go out and just say, here I am. Ask questions of that person. And it just creates and then you will find, once that person starts talking, you will find points of commonality.
That's
with
right.
that person. But for those women who go, you know, I don't like networking. I don't like doing that. But that just might be a tip that might help somebody. You know, just a few more questions, and then we're going to get into something extra. But, you know, if you, and this may be hard for you, I don't know, it may come off the top of your head, but if you could give one piece of advice to your younger self, Catherine, what would it be to the younger wow. Catherine?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I think it would be to follow Jesus. Like, really don't look at what other people are doing, because that was something I was very turned off by, some hypocrisy that I saw. And so I went off on my own. I would say find a way to connect with the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Because if I had done that much sooner in my life, things would have been a lot easier.
They would have been easier, but you know, I also believe God puts everything, has it perfectly. His timing's perfect, right?
Yes.
I know you believe this too. His truth is timeless. His timing is perfect, Catherine. And I think God taking you through all the things that he took you through truly make you such an effective leader and for women. I mean, much more prepared probably to reach women. So,
well, and I can relate
discount
to
that.
Yeah, I can relate to what a lot of women experience. I'll just give you a quick example, Lisa. I serve in a women's prison ministry, and it's very easy for those women to look at us and say, well, you've got it all together. But once I start sharing some of my background, they realize, oh, you're just as broken as we are, and God has used you,
yes.
you know, and so maybe there's hope for me too. And so yeah. it's such an encouragement to other women who have experienced, you know, real brokenness.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I cannot agree more. So I think you, your life has been just as it should be, Catherine, for such a time as this. But, you know, what is your hope for the Polish Network for the future?
My hope is that, I'll tell you what, Lisa, one of the things that I really, that's really in my heart and what got me into the faith and work space to begin with is that more women would get into small group Bible studies, looking at the word as it applies to their work. You know, you mentioned it earlier, and I do have such a passion for people seeing that the word is relevant to their work and all of life. And I struggled with that for a really long time. But now that I see the relevance of it, that is one of the things that I would love to see more of, is that these women who, yes, that's great. I would love to see more chapters around the country, more opportunities for women to connect with other women, but that it would drive some of those women to get into those really small groups, because that's where discipleship happens.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Agreed. That's good. Well, tell our listeners, and then I've got a little fun lightning round. We're going to talk about something else. Tell our listeners about the Boldly Conference.
Oh my gosh, I'm so excited.
What is it?
Yes. Yes. So the Boldly Conference is a faith and work conference by women for women. We are always focused on providing professional development with a very faith-forward perspective. So every speaker, and Lisa, you and I have talked about your topic, will be asked to speak about things that are very practical to our work, but also weave in how they lean on their faith in those elements. And so, which are also very practical. And so the theme this year is Boldly Unified. I think it's a very timely theme, given some of the division that we're seeing. And the Lord prayed that we would be one as he is one. Yes. Right. And that's how people will know that he has sent us. That's how people will know that we belong to him, that we are followers. And so we're going to be talking about Boldly Unified. It's Friday, October 18th. It is at Bentree Bible Fellowship in Carrollton, Texas, just north of Dallas. And we are super excited to see the impact that the Boldly Conference has on women. So Lisa, you are one of our main stage speakers, as well as Sharon Hody Miller, Kat Armstrong, Nikki Lawrence. She is the Chief Diversity Officer for a Fortune 500 company, Meredith King, Jenny Catron. So if you know any of those names, I can tell you, even if you don't, these are all incredibly powerful, powerful women who are sure to inspire and equip. And that's the thing. We want to make sure everybody's equipped with practical action steps that they can leave with, as well as an opportunity to connect with other Christian working women from around the country.
Yeah, it's going to be amazing. I'm really excited. And we'll put all of that information in the show notes. There's still tickets available, sponsorships available. So we'll put that out there. So fun lightning round. What are you reading right now, Catherine?
Holy Noticing.
Holy Noticing. Okay.
Yeah, so it's really about slowing down and taking different, it uses a breathe model. And so you're using your breath, you're tuning into your body, you know, you're just like, it's an opportunity to slow down and really receive from the Holy Spirit.
I love it. I'll be getting on Amazon after our podcast. And I know this is so hard, because you got many, but just name a few of your favorite Bible verses, and then maybe our listeners might jot those down and go back and do a deeper dive on those.
Yeah, well, Ephesians 2:10, we are God's handiwork created in Christ Jesus to do good works that God prepared ahead of time for us to walk in. If you ever experience doubt in your calling, in your purpose, in your work, boy, that's one you can lean on. I also love Ephesians 3:20. He does abundantly above what we could ask or imagine. He really does. And Hebrews 10, now I think it's 5 and 6, he will never leave us or forsake. 13, 5 and 6. He will never leave us or forsake us. He will never leave us without support. And Proverbs 3, 5 and 6. Mm-hmm. You know, we've got to trust in the Lord with all our hearts. Mm-hmm. Lean not on our own understanding. It's so easy for us to think, oh, this happened and this means this. We're meaning-making machines. We've got to give it to the Lord and say, no, you get to say what this means and how this plays out. But in all our ways, we need to submit to him, and he mm-hmm. will direct our path. Yeah. Yeah.
It's so good. Well, let me ask you, because I ask every guest, what is the something extra that every leader needs?
I would say, Lisa, and I did think about this, and it came to me quickly. I am a connector and collaborator, and I think we all need to see the connections that God has put together for us. We need to be open to those, and we need to be collaborators with one another. And we are so much better together. And I've seen it in so many ways.
Mm-hmm. Could not agree more. Well, Catherine, thank you so much for being on the show. This has been so much fun. And, you know, I just pray blessing upon blessing upon blessing on you, the work of your hand. You're doing amazing things. I know how much you love women. And I just pray blessing on your work, girl. Thank you for what you do.
Thank you, Lisa. Thank you. And blessings on you as well. I love you.
Love you too.
Thank you for listening to today's show. Something Extra with Lisa Nichols is a Technology Partners production. Copyright Technology Partners, Inc., 2019. For show notes or to reach Lisa, visit tpi.co/podcast. Don't forget to leave a review on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, or wherever you listen.